All right, welcome to, we're recording Greek Club at Concordia Seminary on a beautiful spring day. And we are just getting into the Acts of the Apostles. We started last week and basically read through verse 5, as I recall, where as Luke is narrating Christ's conversation with the apostles. Without warning, at the end of verse 4, he shifts into second person plural, so direct discourse. The promise of the Father, which you heard of me, that John, on the one hand, baptized in water with water, but you, emphasis on the other hand, will be baptized in or with the Holy Spirit. Not after these many days. So, in other words, pretty soon. So that brings us to verse 6, and we'll pick up from there. And we begin actually with a men deconstruction. And the men is verse 6, and the deconstruction is verses 7 and 8, if I could say it that way. So, verse 6, hoi men un sin elthantas a roton auton legantes. Kyria, a en to chronotuto apo kathestanes ten basileia to Israel. So again, I missed it at first. In the New Testament, men and de is usually relatively close. You know, sometimes it can just be two nouns that are being paired and so somewhat contrasted. But if you've ever read Hebrews, you can get men 1001, 1002, 1003, 1020, you know. And so it can add, the other shoe dropping can actually be quite a ways away. And I think that's what we have here, because you can see the deh at verse 7. So there is a contrast with what the apostles say to Jesus and with his reply to them. And, of course, no matter how one construes that, that contrast is obvious enough. Now, there is actually an ambiguity. I took this article at the beginning of 6, hoi, as the change of subject construction. You get hoi men, and so in that construction, the hoi is functioning more or less like a pronoun, which is what the article used to be in older Greek, apparently, something of a demonstrative pronoun. And if that's the case, then the participle, sun elthantes, is predicate position and adverbial. But I actually looked it up. Blosterbrunner actually suggests that it's more ambiguous than that, and you could actually take the hoi as directly governing the participle. In other words, the two translations would be, therefore, un, on the one hand, they, after they had gathered, were asking him. Okay? Or, conversely, you could translate it, therefore, on the one hand, those who had gathered were asking him. You could go, apparently, either way. And perhaps, because they're already there, you might argue from the context that there's no need for Luke to narrate in a predicate position participle way that they're gathering, they're already there. But it doesn't change the meaning dramatically one way or the other. So maybe we'll take it the first way. On the one hand, therefore, they, when they had gathered. Now, a roton is a very evil form, and I don't know if I should say this, but it actually sometimes shows up on the Greek qualifier. And it's the one form that people hardly ever get. So now I've given away a whole point on the qualifier, you know. It is actually an imperfect from erotao. And the eta in the front is the temporal augment. From the epsilon of the stem is lengthened to eta. And the omega there at the end is actually the vowel contraction of erota, the stem alpha, and then the omicron of the third person plural thematic vowel. You know, there's a lot I can't do, but I do teach elementary Greek. It's good for your soul and does damage to your students. You know, a student one time asked me, what he meant to say, of course, was inflected. He once asked me, is Greek an inflicted language? And my response was, the way I teach it, it is. So yeah, it actually if you uncontract the vowels, it would be e erota on. And it ends up being an imperfect indicative active. It could be first person singular, but it's third person plural with hoi. Imperfect. They were asking, kept on asking him, maybe something, saying, Lord, the vocative there. Now, we've seen this before. Was it in earlier in this chapter already? Or was it in the end of 2 Corinthians? I think 2 Corinthians. The little particle a or if can introduce an indirect question, and we might translate it whether. So, or maybe not translate it at all. Lord, the English translations just ignore it. In this time, ento chronotuto, apokathistanes, will you restore, or are you restoring, the basileia, the kingdom, the reign, to or for Israel? Now, apokathistanes, I think this may be a feature of the simplifying of Greek that's going on in the Hellenistic period with lots of non-Greeks speaking Greek. This is actually probably ultimately from apokathistemi, but we all know how evil the me verbs are compared to the o verbs. And there's actually a new verb form emerges, and it's apokathistano, right? And it's much simpler. It just goes o ace a mente usa, the way, you know, you basically learn the verb, first of all, the present indicative of the verb. So the me verbs are fading, apparently. By the way, if you are ever interested in reading a very thorough article, it's about 60 pages, I think, or maybe 70, on sort of what's going on in the Greek language in this time period. Dr. Vells, our own Dr. Vells, has written an article, I think it's called, what is it called? The Greek language or something like that? In the Hellenistic period? It's in one of the volumes of this German series, Aufstieg und Niedergang, The Rise and Fall of the Roman World. Big green bound volumes in the library. But really, if you're interested in these things, Dr. Vells' article is a very fine summary of kind of what's going on in Greek at this time. And he wrote it, I believe, back in the 1980s. So at any rate, just apokathistanes then parses as a present indicative active second person singular. And it has a futuristic sense. Will you restore? Oh, I suppose, are you restoring at this time? Will you at this time? Either one would work in English, I think. To pause here a little bit and to just offer a small bit of exegesis, I think we should not regard this as a bad question. You know, I've often heard it said, and I myself have said, that, oh, those wacky disciples, they still want an earthly kingdom. But what they're actually asking about is when the consummation is coming. Christ is raised from the dead. This is significant, right? And as a matter of fact, the promises regarding the Christ were given to Israel. Now, of course, it's for the sake of the world, right? So the question they ask is not a bad question, and Jesus' response is correspondingly not completely negative. He just says, you don't get to know. And then as the story of Acts goes on, of course, one of the major ticket items in Acts is to show how Israel is being regathered and redefined, right? The gift of the Holy Spirit poured out in the last days. And the stunning thing in Acts 15, of course, is that the Jerusalem Council decides the question, the answer to the question, what are we going to do with all these Gentiles, by quoting Amos and saying, these Gentiles coming in are part of what God is doing as he rebuilds the fallen booth of David. See? So it's a kind of a stunning redefinition, if I could say it that way, of Israel. Now, the time is coming when God will restore the reign to his people Israel, but that time isn't fully yet. and that's not their, as they would say in Texas, business, right? Or as my mother would say, that's none of your beeswax, right? So it's not a terrible question, and it's sometimes taken that way. Okay, that was a little non-grammatical, but any questions or comments on verse 6? This actually wasn't too hard. Yeah, Will?
So the A can introduce direct discourse too, because, I mean, putting Kyrie in the vocative makes it direct discourse, correct?
Yeah, yeah. Again, it's introducing a question, right? And it is used here in direct discourse, right? Right. So, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Lord, if you will restore at this time the reign to Israel, right? It's like, I think it's just at this point untranslatable. Yeah, just introducing a question. So, okay, good. All right, we'll do verse 7. So, now here's the de, apen de. Pros autus, uk humon estin gnonai chronus e kairus, hus ha pater etheta ente edia exousia. And we'll go ahead and get verse 8, because we all know what it's supposed to say anyway. Allah lemsis the dinamin ap elthantas tu hagiu pneumatus ep humas, kai esis themu martyres en te Jerusalem, kai en pase te Judaea, kai Samaria. So on the one hand, they asked this question. On the other hand, he said to them. The infinitive, gnonai, this is it's a very strong third principal part. It's from gnosko. And I think we should take this infinitive as the subject of the verb. To know is not of you. That's a bad English translation, but it captures it. So the simple infinitive is the subject. In English, we'd supply a dummy subject, right? We'd say, it is not of you or for you to know. But grammatically, the infinitive is the subject of estin. And then everything that goes with it, to know times or seasons, however you want to translate those relatively synonymous terms. To know times or seasons which the Father appointed by means of his own authority. To know that is not of you. And I don't know what else to call that of you except possession. And I actually thought of the first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for of them is the reign of heaven. I mean, it's the same. It's actually in front of the linking verb. So this knowledge is not of you. That is, it's not yours. You don't have it. In English, we would say it's not for you, right? And then our friend Etheta, this is just the... I guess it's the aorist of tithemi, right? Yes. Let's see, it goes tithemi, theso, etheka, tetheka. Oh, aren't there two sets of forms here? Jim, you're the kind of guy that would know that. Yeah, it's a middle passive ending, right? So, which the Father has, main uta, right? Which the Father has appointed. And to be honest, I don't know if the middle has any real force here, appointed for himself or his own purpose. I'm not sure. And I do think N plus the dative there probably is just expressing means. So that's not for you to know. Rather, here is what is for you. Lamesista is just the future of Lambano. It's the second principal part is deponent. So it goes lambano lamesomai. You will receive power. Now a genitive absolute from op erkomai, the participle, and the referent is tu hagiu pneumatus. So you could translate it temporally. You will receive power. you know, the rule of thumb probably doesn't apply here, where the aorist participle precedes in time, right? So after you receive the Holy Spirit, then you get power. Well, as you read the narrative, it's simultaneous, right? So just when, right? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit upirkomais upon you, comes upon you, and you will be, note the second accent on SS-the, because mu that follows doesn't have an accent. You will be of me martyres, witnesses, be the predicate nominative. And now N after martyres also has an accent because it's followed by te, which is, again, enclitic. You have two enclitics in a row, right? I think Dr. Don Carson, who's kind of a polymath, you know, he's written about 900,000 books, and he can do anything he wants. One of his more thrilling books is actually called A Handbook of Greek Accents. So if you ever want to know, you can check out that book. It's not one of his bigger sellers, if I can say it that way. But that's why. And te is post-positive, so to translate, you put it in front of N. And you perhaps go, well, it's introducing a series. If it were two, you'd say both and. But we've got in Jerusalem and in all one article, joining them closely conceptually, in all Judea and Samaria. So in some sense, those are connected. And until the last of the earth, until the end of the earth. And again, not land here, land of Israel, but given the geographical expansion of the verse, ge here means earth. So, grammatically, that part's not bad at all. Questions, comments on 7 and 8? Okay, good.
Did you say ends of the earth is geographical or denoting the age span of the earth?
That's a good question. I guess I would... Well, without thinking about it too much, thought it's geographical, just, you know, it's expanding, right, territory. Yeah.
Always taken it that way.
Yeah, yeah. Right, until the last of the earth.
So we always talk about eschatology being the last thing.
Exactly, so. Exactly. Right, right. Yeah, see, and I was just thinking of the Great Commission, it's all the days until the consul, that's a little different. So, yeah, Jim? Yeah.
Well, so that, I mean, when is, the distinction is usually like pros tous ionos, ionas, as opposed
right.
to gays.
To eternity, yeah, yeah. Ion is age.
Yeah.
Right, right. So.
If you want to talk about the time span, I would think that.
Yeah, I think it's easier to take it geographically.
But it is intriguing to think of the last things of the
earth. Oh, and.
It incorporates a lot more, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it does, right. Right. And again, this is, see, I was going to mention this, again, if we do too much, relevant stuff, we bog down. But this verb apokathistano, it's only used, I looked it up, it's in Luke 6, I think, where Jesus restores a withered hand. But the verb apokatastasis, restoration, occurs in an intriguing passage in Acts 3 where Peter actually says to the crowd in Jerusalem and to the religious leaders, repent therefore so that God may send times of restoration and the appointed Christ whom heaven must receive until... It will come to it in due course. It makes me wonder what would have happened if... they had actually repented and believed at that point. It reads almost as if God was just waiting for it to happen, and if it had happened, that would have been it. That would have been the consummation of the age. And, well, no basketball. No Abner Doubleday. No, that's baseball.
Who's going to be alive?
I don't know. But it's the kind of thing that you can think about after you finish your dissertation. Yeah. Don't think about it till then. Yeah. Good. So. All right. Let's see. Let's get maybe one more verse, and then we'll stop with verse 9, which is easy enough. Kai tauta apon bleponton auton ep irthe kai nafele hip elaben auton apaton ophthalmon auton. And saying these things, here probably temporal, after he had said these things. Now a genitive absolute, blepanton, auton, while they were seeing, ep erthe, this is from ep iro, right, means to take up, and it's a great sixth principal part form, aorist, indicative, active, third singular. He was taken up, and a nephele, a cloud. A hippolombano can mean a number of things, but one of the things it can mean is receive. It means to take up or receive. And it's just an aorist. A cloud received him from, literally, from their eyes. They lost sight of him. Right. A modernist might want to know, well, how high did he get? You know, I'm not sure that's an important question, but we probably should not think of, like, The Matrix, where in the last scene, you know, Keanu Reeves, the world's worst actor, you know, goes zooming up, you know, up into the sky. Probably not like that. So just in case you wondered, Jim. So, yeah, you weren't wondering, were you? Yeah. We all have better things to think about. So, okay, well, that's good. We'll stop there. We'll pick up next week in verse 10.